The Confessions of Arsène Lupin by Maurice Leblanc. Narrated by Paul Spera. Lupin's Marriage. Monsieur Arsène Lupin has the honor to inform you of his approaching marriage with Mademoiselle Angélique de Sarzeau-Vendôme, Princess de Bourbon-Condé, and to request the pleasure of your company at the wedding, which will take place at the Church of Sainte-Clotilde. The Duc de Sarzeau-Vendôme has the honor to inform you of the approaching marriage of his daughter Angélique, Princesse de Bourbon-Condé, with Monsieur Arsène Lupin, and to request... Jean, Duke of Sarzeau-Vendôme, could not finish reading the invitations which he held in his trembling hand. Pale with anger, his long, lean body shaking with tremors. "There," he gasped, handing the two communications to his daughter, "that is what our friends have received. This has been the talk of Paris since yesterday. What do you say to that dastardly insult, Angélique? What would your poor mother say to it if she was alive?" Angélique was tall and thin like her father, skinny and angular like him. She was 33 years of age, always dressed in black, shy and retiring in manner, with a head too small in proportion to her height, and narrowed on either side until the nose seemed to jut forth in protest against such parsimony. And yet it would be impossible to say that she was ugly, for her eyes were extremely beautiful, soft and grave, proud and a little sad, pathetic eyes, which to see once was to remember. She flushed with shame at hearing her father's word, which told her the scandal of which she was the victim. But as she loved him, notwithstanding his harshness to her, his injustice and despotism, she said, "Oh, I think it must be meant for a joke, father, to which we need pay no attention."
"A joke? Why, everyone is gossiping about it. A dozen papers have printed the confounded notice this morning with satirical comments. They quote our pedigree, our ancestors, our illustrious dead. They pretend to take the thing seriously."
"Still, no one could believe."
"Of course not. But that doesn't prevent us from being the byword of Paris."
"It will all be forgotten tomorrow."
"Tomorrow, my girl, people will remember that the name of Angélique de Sarzeau-Vendôme has been bandied about as it should not be. Oh, if I could find out the name of the scoundrel who is dead."
At that moment, Hyacinthe, the Duke's valet, came in and said that Monsieur le Duc was wanted on the telephone. Still fuming, he took down the receiver and growled.
"Well, who is it?" "Yes, it's the Duc de Sarzeau-Vendôme speaking."
A voice replied, "I want to apologize to you, Monsieur le Duc, and to Mademoiselle Angélique. It's my secretary's fault."
"Your secretary?"
"Yes, the invitations were only a rough draft, which I meant to submit to you. Unfortunately, my secretary thought..."
"But tell me, monsieur, who are you?"
"What, monsieur the duke, don't you know my voice? The voice of your future son-in-law?"
"What? Arsène Lupin."
The duke dropped into a chair. His face was livid.
"Arsène Lupin. It's he, Arsène Lupin."
Angélique gave a smile. "You see, father, it's only a joke, a hoax." But the Duke's rage broke out afresh, and he began to walk up and down, moving his arms.
"I shall go to the police. The fellow can't be allowed to make a fool of me in this way. If there's any law left in the land, it must be stopped."
Hyacinthe entered the room again. He brought two visiting cards.
"Chotois, Le Petit. Don't know them."
"They are both journalists, Monsieur le Duc."
"What do they want?"
"They would like to speak to Monsieur le Duc with regard to the marriage."
"Turn them out," exclaimed the Duke. "Kick them out, and tell the porter not to admit scum of that sort to my house in the future."
"Please, father," Angélique ventured to say.
"As for you, shut up. If you had consented to marry one of your..."